Recorded live. This is an interactive podcast designed for audience participation. Come talk, text chat, or listen live at TalkShoe.com.
Hey, everybody. It is a bumpy beginning, but that's okay. And I'm just waiting for William to appear. And I want to thank you guys for showing up. I know that a couple of folks are having some trouble, so first show, a little bumpy. That's okay. I have no problem with that. So we will just kind of give a little time, but we do want to kind of get the show started. And let's see here. Okay. I think everybody can hear me. I'm seeing that on the screen, so it's a good sign. R is in. Very good. Cool. Okay. All right.
I'm in.
Cool. All right, good. All right. Hey, Mr. William, how are you, sir? Uh-oh. Oh. Mr. William? Oh, he's moving around, this guy. Okay. Okay.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, this is the Los Angeles Times. We're wondering if you'd like to get a subscription right now. We're offering a special rate. If you get our Sunday and Saturday papers for only 15 cents more per minute, you can get also the weekday editions, including the business section.
You know, I want it all, actually. And it's Christmas time. Why not?
We'll put it all with a nice bow and a bell.
Okay. Oh, man. Well, I knew the beginning would be a little rough, and that's okay. I lowered my expectations, but it could only go up from here. So, you know. How is everybody? I am in Dallas, and it's not California. So it's funny because it's actually warm here, so which goes to show you. And actually, Orange County, where I'm from, where it should be warm, it's actually cold. So amazing, this whole funny stuff.
Pretty
so did you use the phone, Bill? Did you use the phone, Mr. William?
Yes, actually, I'm using my plain old telephone system.
Okay.
Pot.
That sounds good. Now, okay, let me try this kind of fun thing I was playing with, and let me see if you guys can hear it. Maybe a little loud, sorry. How's that? Do you hear that?
I heard some whistling or music for a second.
Okay, cool. Then you heard it. Let's see, and then there's a fun one here.
Warning!
Okay, how's that?
I heard something.
Okay.
I can't tell whether...
Good.
Oh, Aperture Film says good here.
Yes, excellent. Now, okay, let's kind of get started. I know some folks are going to pop in, and we'll get going. So the bottom line is, let's kind of get used to this screen. It's kind of a new screen. It's pretty daunting. It's kind of new to me, actually. But as you guys are aware, there is a chat system that you can click in the bottom. It says Submit Chat Messages down at the bottom. You can click in there, type in your message. You need to click on the arrow or just hit the Enter key, and it'll send the message up to the screen. So what's cool about that is if you use your mouse, you can actually right-click on a message, and you can respond to that person, and it'll have the same color. So a person can look for, you know, green, and it matches an answer. So actually, during this talk show, segment here that we can actually, there you go, so we can actually talk back and forth to someone else, maybe answer a question or maybe give some feedback or whatever. So that's pretty cool. Also, you can request to ask a question, make a comment live here, and I can unmute your phone. You can ask your question. We could talk about it. So there's a lot of versatility here. There's just a few things I wish that it had, but I think it's coming. And so let's go ahead and kind of get started. I know it's going to be kind of a slow build, and I don't have a problem with that. So the first thing I do want to do is I want to introduce Aura. So I want to unmute her phone. Aura, say hello to everybody.
Hello.
She's shy. Hello there. How are you?
I'm here, but I'm not sure if Skype is working.
Okay. No, I hear you fine.
Okay. I've got this funny feedback thing where I hear everything you say twice.
Okay. What you should do is turn your speakers on your computer down and use your headset to listen. Because it is the feedback between the Skype and the computer response.
You know, I remember once when I was using Skype, I had to go into like my volume controls, and I had to change it from being, I think there was a setting for what you hear versus like line in or microphone. I had to monkey with turning some settings on or off when I was getting that those duplicates when we were first trying this. I wonder what was the magic. Like right now I have line and microphone muted. I don't know if that does anything good.
Okay. Is it still echoing, Aura?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's see.
I can tolerate it.
Okay. We'll definitely figure out a way that you can get rid of that. But I just wanted you to say hey, so. Okay. Aura is a great vocal actress, and she's going to be appearing in a lot of great upcoming and some past parodies that we've been doing. So I just wanted her to get on and say hey. So hey to you. And let's see. I think we lost Aperture Films. Oh, well, like I said, first time. So let's talk about 2006. Mr. William, now, was there anything electronically or on the internet that you use that you just can't do without now, or that really made your life better in 2006?
Interesting. I think as far as what we were doing and stuff like that, using that Audigy audio editing software, Audacity, I'm sorry. That was really good. You know, between my computer and then it seems like any time I bought a new audio or video card or some sort of stuff, it always come with some sort of, you know, music making or some sort of software, and it have all this promise. And then after I'd go around it, I'd always hit up against one or two limitations, and it just seems to be the right price for everything it does. You know, it's easy to use, and having Google email has been great because I don't have to worry about file sizes, and even when I use MSN, you know, for email, sometimes it takes so long for the darn interface to load, and then for me to go between messages, and it'll open a message I didn't want to open, it marks as unread, blah, blah, blah. So I like having lots of storage
right
there. Plus, by using the Firefox browser, I can actually just drag and drop large files to the email. So I like that.
Where do you find that plugin for Firefox and Gmail?
Gosh, it was called GSpace, and I'll try to track it down and send an email to you.
Okay.
Where I found it, it was sometimes finding a plugin, even if you know the name, is kind of tricky. But once I found that G-Space thing, then, you know, if I was talking about, like, trying to email a 20-meg file or something, now I could just sort of set it up. And so it kind of would work like a – I think it probably is just doing, like, an FTP to your email account. But that way I wouldn't have to wait for, you know, however long it takes to send a 20-meg email file. It would just be handled in the background. And, you know, sometimes we would record stuff, and, you know, you get over 3 or 4 minutes of takes, and that file size starts going way up.
Well, I just want to quickly want to say, hey, Save Ron, and hey, David Lane, how are you? Thanks for joining us today. And Aperture Films, you just chill in the chat. That's cool. And I know it's kind of wild with the whole phone connection, but thanks for hanging in the chat. And we're just talking about a couple of things that were really cool that we used in 2006 that just the whole using it really helped us out a lot. And I think Gmail, when it first came on the scene with that huge storage space, just was the most incredible thing ever. So, and plugins with Firefox, I mean, it really opened up a lot of different things because, you know, Bill can't be in charge of everything, so... Mr. Gates there. So I think it's cool to use all the tools you can, and especially when you're doing audio work on the internet. Obviously, Audacity is free, and free is the best price in the world. So then, you know, how do you get the files back and forth? So it's pretty cool.
That's all I have to say.
Was there any? Okay. Any phone tools, any kind of electronic kind of other little fun gadgets that you found in 2006 that were really cool?
I like Skype.
Okay.
But I know that, you know, reading it, that they do have the technical issue with TalkShoe right now that they're working on, where sometimes I guess what's happening is certain numbers get double pressed. So like when I was trying to dial 9490, they'd come back and say, well, you just pressed 994990. And I'm like, well, from my point of view, I didn't. So if they work that out, that'll be great, because I like having that phone number, you know, and chat thing that, you know, if I'm at home or at work, it's a number that follows me. And until the end of the year, being that it's free long distance, you know, in the U.S. and Canada, that's great. And if you sign up by the end of the year, it's only $15 for unlimited, you know. So,
sure.
I like that, because otherwise I'm always playing tag between my voicemail at home, my voicemail on my cell phone, my voicemail on my work, blah, 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 and you know how challenging that can be to get a hold of me because my cell doesn't work at my house. So by being able to rely on Skype a little bit more would be great. Now, if I could, you know, if I could work out how to – I know there's a way to forward stuff. If I could remember – if I could figure out how to forward my different phone numbers – and remember to turn them off from forwarding.
Yeah.
Because I'm worried I'd end up setting up some sort of circle where I'm forwarding everything to each other. but this is pretty cool. I've used a couple web conferencing tools. I know a few other people mentioned that too, like WebEx and iLink and Centra. And the thing which I don't see in here, which some of those let you do, is present, you know, documents or graphics or presentations. And I think that's, that's probably something which we're going to want to do. Like, for instance, what was that? Meet Padme's parents. You know, I recorded my stuff, and then Ara took a listen to some of it and recorded some great stuff.
Absolutely.
I'm glad you shared that with me. But I know that, you know, if we were able to pull up some of those scripts the first time through and sort of like do like test walkthroughs together on screen and then go back and do our stuff – you know, I think that the whole question, like when we have stuff, we want people to speak at the same time. You kind of need to know what's going on there, and otherwise you end up having to direct each of us individually over the course of days, whereas if we did it during a first walkthrough or two together online, we could have it handled in a matter of minutes. We go to our corners, do our bits, FTP them, and boom, we're done. So I'm looking forward to something which lets us do that.
Well, I think that as we move forward, I have a lot of great ideas as far as audio stuff and more dramatic. And I think really the key to it is, and I kind of was slowly coming upon this whole kind of conferencing thing, but I mean, you had a great idea, and I think it's the best to kind of get everybody together to kind of hear the direction I want to take it in, and then kind of break it down to each different part so people have a clear idea of what's going on, what they think about it, and then kind of direct them in certain ways and then go from there. Obviously, we can meet, you know, again, but I think if you start there, that's the best way. So, the first thing I heard about TalkShoe was with Cliff Ravenscraft, and I hope Mr. Cliff will pop in today. But he had the greatest, in my opinion, Lost podcast that he was doing. It's called the Generally Speaking Lost Podcast, and it was just really cool. It was him and his wife, who are Lostaholics, and they just watch it and drink it in and have a fantastic memory, and then they had a bunch of people, so it's cool. And but he's the first one to kind of be the evangelist of TalkShoe to the rest of us, so I'm pretty happy with what I've seen thus far. I think getting in and the whole Skype usage together is kind of tough because I don't want to have to call Pennsylvania. I mean, no offense to anybody who lives in Pennsylvania, but, you know, I'd like to spend less money sometimes. So, but anyway, I think this is going to revolutionize a lot of things. And, you know, there's a lot of really great ideas. I know there is a friend of mine who is a personal trainer, and I want to do some health shows, which will open up the lines to have people either text in a question or call in and ask it live. So I think it's cool. And just as you can see, William is putting up some information about where to get the plug-in to use Gmail as file storage. So, man, you get storage everywhere now. So that's pretty cool. Okay. Yes, Aura. Go ahead, Aura.
Do you think you could use this as a medium to do improv?
Well, as far as testing it out, yes.
Or is that just crazy?
The recording, I think, would be the limitation. I think getting everybody set up with great equipment at home is fantastic. But I think, like, maybe a dry run, I mean, that would work perfect, I think, because everybody would kind of get the feel of how it's going.
Okay.
Cool. Anything else? Okay. So I think we have kind of looked into the future of podcasting because, there was a time when it was cool to hear somebody rant and rave about their neighbor for 2 hours. I think unless you're really riveting, I think those days are over. I think this is the next step of, you know, having people being able to talk and ask their questions and all that. And another idea I had is to do a quiz show. And that's kind of in the works. So there's a lot of great opportunities to do a lot of really cool things with this type of medium. But like William said, I think the one thing it doesn't have that I would really like is to maybe show a picture or graphic or something like that. I think that would kind of close it in, and, you know, TalkShoe would probably lock it in. Because what's cool is that you don't have to have equipment to record. They record it for you, and they push it out to their site, and it's downloadable, so you can put it on your blog page. You could push it out as a podcast, and it takes all the headache out. So they can even work with you as far as codecs and that kind of thing. So I think this is a pretty good option. That's just my opinion. So
I wonder what Mike thinks.
Yep. I agree, Mike. But this was the kickoff, so I had to start somewhere, but I totally agree with you. Okay. We can do that. change the show name for each one?
He's dialed in. Could he be speaking?
Sure. Mike, do you have anything else?
You sure that's
Mike,
a good
you're on.
Idea?
Go ahead. Well, sure. Why not?
No, what I was saying is I changed my episode name. Like I just did one a few minutes ago on the guy's getting sued for $1.7 million. So I changed my show name to Blogger Sued for $1.7 million. That way people that show up on the front page see what it's going to be about.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Perfect. Yeah, that's a great idea. Thanks so much. I'm glad I'm only a newbie once, hopefully. So, let's see here. I saw Apocalypto, and I think I may have saw the best picture of the year, perhaps. And it was gross. It was violent. But I did not live in the Mayan civilization, so I figured I would take a little look-see. And I tell you what, it's a pretty good movie. It's a pretty good movie. So like I said, it is violent, and it is, yeah. So it's not, and I think what's interesting is people in earlier civilizations did not live like us. They did not. And I think when we try to put a 2006 sanitization on an old, the way people used to live, and that's just the way they lived, I think it's a problem. So, I don't know. I think it's a great movie, and I think we'll definitely maybe see it in nomination for Best Picture, which is kind of a strange irony, but anyway, I thought it was pretty interesting. So what we're going to do is let's just keep chatting because I listened to another show on TalkShoe and there was a lot of kind of dead air. So, Mr. William, do you have anything to add before we jump in the next thing?
No, I don't. I'm, you know, Jeff, I know you. And I've worked with you on some
okay.
of the shows, but I haven't met all the people that we've joined on. You probably have. I was wondering if you could
possibly
introduce all of us so we get to meet each other.
Well, all right. I will do my best. Well, okay. Let's kind of do because I think some people join through TalkShoe. And not from the email I sent out. So
oh,
that's
okay.
kind of
maybe
I think that's
yourself.
Where we're
yeah.
that's where we're at. So if you all could kind of type in maybe your first name and kind of generally where you're from so we kind of have an idea. Because some folks it looks like they're not logged in. And that's kind of an interesting situation. Ah, the quiet.
Beep, beep, beep.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see. Okay. Excellent. All right. Hello, David. Illinois. Very good. There we go. I think your name is Mike. Mike thinks that's. I'm gonna just take a stab at that.
You know, I noticed that Mike's website that he has a advertisement for GoToMeeting. Mike, have you tried using GoToMeeting for any of your interviews or any other situations that you could talk about its pros or cons?
I personally haven't used the software myself to host any meetings. However, I have been on a couple of the tech podcast networks, little roundtables, and they use GoToMeeting.
Okay.
And it works. I mean, it's really, really a nice program as far as, you know, they just pull up the web pages. You can see exactly what's on their screen, just like the ad copy I have to read says every week. The real interesting thing is that we use GoToMeeting so we can see what's on everybody's screen, but we use TalkShoe so everyone can talk, because if you try to use Skype or something like that, there's just way too much feedback.
Mm.
Sure.
So in that case, you're still using quite a combination of technologies.
Correct. And it's not a perfect solution at this time because, you know, GoToMeeting is designed more for people who are going to sit around a boardroom and have an actual conference call going on.
Yeah.
And we do that at my job. The other thing about GoToMeeting is there's a little bit of an issue with incorporating videos. You have to make sure the videos are interlaced or deinterlaced in the proper frame rate, or it'll just do all kinds of weird things like play upside down.
Oh, okay. I think I remember when we were using a tool called Centra that we had issues with color depth and resolution before we'd try to put stuff. We had all sorts of pictures that would show up in these weird oranges and browns if we weren't careful.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, but as far as seeing the websites and everything and watching what the guy's doing on the screen and handing it off to other, the great thing is, unlike a lot of tools I've seen used, like the one we use at my job a lot, and I don't know what it's called, it's some obscure thing, with GoToMeeting, the guy who's controlling the presentation can give control over to other people, so you have people all over the world showing you what's on their screens.
Mm-hmm. What is the cost of using GoToMeeting?
I have no idea.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I should really check that out, shouldn't I? Before I started advertising it, I certainly checked it out, but I don't have any need to sign up for it. But you do have a free trial.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, because I think there's a lot of things that you can do with this whole, you know, community connectivity with the audio. And it sure would be great to have something for, you know, just a podcast, because I know a lot of those solutions, like a Central, like a WebEx, there's a bit of a cost to it. So I don't know if most podcasters would have that kind of money, but GoToMeeting, definitely something to check out.
Yeah, and, you know, I just remembered, you know, I have XM satellite radio in my car, and I know that they have ads for GoToMeeting often offering, you know, some discounted, you know, initial use and stuff, like some sort of special code. So it's definitely, you know, something worth looking into, I believe.
Well, let's kind of open it up a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about, I mean, you mentioned XM, and it's interesting that we've kind of dealt with different ways to watch video or listen to music. So, you know, we had VHS and Betamax, and for music we had cassette tapes, 8-track tapes before that, CDs, and all that kind of stuff. But now it's almost like it's just the file. It's just the information that's the most critical thing, especially when you get down to like DVR and stuff like that. So, I mean, what next? Where are we going now? What do you guys think?
Well, I consider myself kind of a dinosaur. I got stuck in the 90s. So a lot of this technology is new for me. And I'm just watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer on my computer starting today.
Okay.
So I wish I knew what was coming.
Okay.
Vampires?
Well, I think the whole Napster and MP3 revolution, I think, changed everything, obviously, and it opened up this whole new way to find music, in my opinion, that just isn't around. For instance, if you had a record store and you wanted to find a tape or CD or something that was maybe out in the late 70s, maybe by a little known band, you're out of luck. But these days, you know, with iTunes releasing a lot of older things and other ways that people tell me about, that you can find music that you probably never could have found anywhere else.
I think you have Clear Channel to partially thank for the success of podcasting and the MP3 revolution as well. By playing the same bland 20 or 30 songs over and over again, they kind of force people somewhere else.
That's true.
Amen.
I tell you, it
got to the point where, you know, I couldn't find six FM stations I could put in my presets.
Right.
Because I wanted them to be different. You know, I ended up just finding the ones which had the best traffic reports on the AM dial. And it was just making mixed CDs based off of the weirdest stuff that my friends and the various independent bands could suggest to me. You know, you'd hear the same commercials. There was even one lady who I found who was actually doing the drive time traffic and weather reports. She was doing it on three of the stations, just using a different last name. It's that incestuous. So, yeah, definitely we should thank them, because people started saying we need to find new content, and if we don't like what we found, we can make it. And so rather than having, you know, the cable, you know, broadcast TV going from 7 channels to having cable go to 20, then 30, then 40, then 80, then getting your satellite TV for 300, it's like, why have 300 channels when you can have a million channels for every niche out there? If you have people that want to do, you know, 16th century, you know, basket weaving, you know, art poetry, you'll find 60 people in that chat room and they're all doing it. Great. Would they have come together without these sort of tools? No. Would that have been a bad thing? Well, it depends on whether you're into that sort of stuff.
Well, and I think, too, if you just take a look at one thing, it's very similar to Clear Channel, I think, is MTV. In its inception, it was trying to bring music that nobody had heard of out to the people. They wanted to show you who was behind the sound and their face and their routine on the stage and all this kind of stuff. And so they did that well. Well, as time went on, people really didn't care. I mean, you couldn't shock anybody anymore. You couldn't bring out this great video that you would stay home and watch. And now reality TV, which was good in the beginning, I think, and I think there is some good reality TV, but now it's back to this Clear Channel, 10 songs an hour, whatever's hot, whatever is told to them to play, and there you go. And so now, other things, BitTorrent, and all those other kind of avenues, these bands that are not known at all are now pushing their songs out because they have no other way to promote them, and they want you to download them. And so now the underground bands are back underground again, and because nobody will play them on MTV. But that's what's cool about maybe a video cast or podcast or netcast or whatever you want to call it, is that now these bands can have a way to promote themselves. So
I think that a thing with that is that once you have so many channels, you almost lose promotion because you don't know where to find what you want.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the freedom.
Sure.
But yeah, I think that's the other part, is that as the producers of content increase, is finding the good stuff. I mean, it's just like, you know, when you first start getting on the internet, and you know, if you went through a portal through CompuServe or The Source or AOL or what have you, you know, you went to their spot and they sort of held your hand to find the stuff. You know, oh, here's where you go to shop. Here's where you go to get your weather information. And as people started moving away from that, you know, because there was 18 bazillion choices. The thing is, how do you know the good choices? How do you, every now and then I'd get it, you know, into a site saying, you know what, this one's providing something for me. And then they get bought out or go away or fall victim to spam. And so with the bands too, you know, for a while, MP3.com, for a while, you know, Launch, Live 123. I've used those in the past, but then they would go and change, and or UBL, Ultimate Band Listing. You know, they'd change in a way that made them less accessible. New people would start their own thing. And so, how do you find it? And I think that's probably the next thing is something to help you really find the good stuff and separate it out from the fluff or the things you're not interested in. Some sort of better way of tagging. Because, like, you know, if you go into one of the search engines and you tried to look for something very specific, I don't care how specific you try to get, is you're still going to come up with 30% of the links to porn and stuff that has nothing to do with it. So
right.
how do you find, even when you know what you're looking for, how do you find it? And when you don't know, when you're just saying, gosh, you know, I'd like something with a pan flute in it without having to
sure.
buy my own. I think that's something which we really need help on is, and maybe that's like, you know, you could decide, well, you know what, I'm just going to trust whatever iTunes tells me is the top 10. Because if it's the top 10, obviously it's good. You know, I mean, I'm talking, so that's the simple way of doing it. That's not the way I'd do it, but there has to be something out there to help us. Five magazines.
What I like about XM is that I think it does bridge the gap from normal radio and, you know, maybe finding the most perfect music somewhere. And I like XM because it does kind of reach beyond the top 20 and give you something different. And, you know, it has all the 60s, 50s, 80s, 90s, whatever. And I think that that's helpful because it'll, I mean, sometimes I'll hear a song and go, you know, I haven't heard that band in a long time. I really like that song, and I want to check out the band. So,
you know, I think along that vein of how do you find it is that there's an evolution to the internet in that we as searchers are, it's almost like our brains learn how to process new. So we start to learn how to filter out fluff and go, okay, these search words are going to work and this communication network is going to work. And I think that's a human adaptation to technology.
Right. Well, I think it's with anything else, you know, people will find a way, so... But I think podcasting is a cool way for people that don't have a platform to say something about just about anything. And, you know, if they could loosen up a little bit on playing like maybe half a song or something like that, then I think it'd be a great way to kind of have people say, you know, there's a great band, you know, and you know, here's half a song, go out and buy the, you know, CD or whatever, or go see them, you know, when they come into your town. But anyway, I mean, there's so many great radio stations, and sometimes bands don't come to every town, so how would you hear them? There's no way to do that.
I think it's right, because I, for example, if you look at my website, there is a link on the left for a guy I found, I just stumbled across him. I don't get paid for that link. He does have something where you could put up and he'll give you a buck, but I don't even bother with that because I like him, and so I promote him. And once in a while,
right.
I play his music on my show, and I've even given away a couple of his CDs because I like him. Now, if I couldn't play it, who would have ever heard it?
Sure. Hi, Julian. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Yeah, it keeps cutting it out, though.
Yeah, I hear it. Yeah. Well, I think... go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I'm getting double feedback, so I'm not sure who's talking now.
Looks like Julian's giving it a shot.
No, I'm using it, but for some reason it won't do anything.
Okay.
Maybe I should hang up on Xlink and try Skype. I'll be back just a sec.
Okay. Go ahead, Ara.
Well, what I was going to say is that I think historically, and it's so true in the computer age, is the way you find things is networking. For example, today I invited my sister to come onto this podcast, and she never would have found TalkShoe without it, and I never would have tried Skype if Jeff hadn't said, hey, come on to Skype.
Mm-hmm.
And I've found a new band called the Bastard Fairies. I'm not sure if I should say that, but, you know, I found it because it was on YouTube, and they're giving their CD away free online.
Right.
And that might speak to the great success of MySpace, because it provides that means to network, and that's crucial, I think, to the success of things like this.
I totally agree. I think MySpace has, you know, received a lot of flack, and obviously it is justified in some situations, but I think MySpace, if it's viewed as a promotional avenue for bands and folks that are starting out, I think if you look at it like that, and obviously talk to your kids, talk to your nieces, nephews, whatever, just obviously teach them, you know, skills they need to be careful out there. But I think MySpace is a great promotional tool because, I mean, it's interesting. There are comedians that don't even have a website. They just point straight to a MySpace page because the whole networking of connecting of friends and putting out these bulletins that post on all of the friends' websites, I think it's a great tool. You know, and again, with, you know, the bands that don't have a label, you need something to kind of, you know, promote yourself. So I think MySpace is a great free tool.
Yeah, I think you made another.
Go ahead.
I think you made another excellent point that with all of these amazing tools to connect to each other and conference and connect with people, you really have to develop a sense of right and wrong. You have to develop a sense of safety, and you have to develop a good common sense on how to use these tools.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, it's just like, you know, going to another country and feeling like, you know, I mean, you're in your own neighborhood. I mean, you need to be aware of where you're at and what you're up against. And, you know, sometimes you can't trust everybody. So, anyway, YouTube. Now, YouTube is another way for films to get the word out, for bands to get the word out, you know, and then you have the guy, you know, filming himself breathing, you know. I mean,
well, that's what I wondered about, too, is, you know, there were places, you know, Adam Films, and some of these places, you know, probably they had, you know, more of a filter. But some of the stuff that ends up being really good on YouTube probably could have gone to some of these other venues where things are filtered or gone through some sort of criteria before they get stuck out into the world. But then maybe that's the power of YouTube is like, well, we'll just get 1,000 monkeys pounding away at 1,000 video cameras, and if one of them does something worthy of, you know, Shakespeare,
I like that metaphor.
Great.
The reason I
could
like
we do
YouTube.
That? Could we rent some monkeys and give them a video?
Sure.
And see what they do?
Hey, it's 2006, you know. We could do just about whatever we want. So.
I wonder where we could rent some monkeys. Yeah. You might as well use me now.
all we need to do is look online. That's all we need to do. I imagine there's a place we can rent monkeys and cameras. But I just think that I like YouTube because you don't have to log in. You don't have to register to watch the movies. And, I mean, if I have to register for one more website, I think I'm going to walk into traffic because that is the bane of my That is the bane of my existence. If I was captured and another person wanted me to tell them every password I have for every website I connect to, I couldn't do it. I could not do it. It's impossible. So, you know, that's why I like YouTube. It's one place where you can watch without having to log in. If you want to, you can. But, you know. And what's cool about YouTube is, I think it's another extension of DVR, is that if you missed a certain funny moment on a show, wait 24 hours and it's going to be on YouTube. And you can watch it, catch up, and say, yep, I saw it too. You know, go ahead.
I had an interesting experience with that, trying to make a documentary at a daycare. And I was going to do this 10-minute documentary for practice. And the director of my daughter's daycare said, we would love to have a documentary of us. You know, we're short on funds. We'd love to get the exposure. So I went through everything, got all my releases, was getting the releases signed, was preparing to bring the camera in a week later, and the board shut the project down because they were afraid of YouTube. They were afraid that someone would get this documentary, put the kids on YouTube, and some creepy guy would get pictures of them.
Right. Yeah, the fear of YouTube, you know, it may be founded in some instances, but not always. Julian, you had a comment? Let's see here. Julian, go ahead.
Oh, thank God. Somebody noticed me. I was just saying.
We love you, Julian.
If anybody notices, just go to bugmenot.com. It's got a little text box. You can enter in, like, website names like New York Times or whatever that needs, like, compulsory registration just to read the story or just to do anything. Or you can get, like, a little plug-in for Firefox, and you just, like, right-click on it, and it'll say go to bugmenot.com. It'll retrieve the list of, like, usernames and passwords, and it'll use those so you don't have to – it'll just fill it in for you so you don't have to register, which is really nice.
Very cool.
Especially on
now
YouTube. It's like, oh, this is over 18. Well, I'm 22. Let me view it anyway. Besides, there's, like, four-year-olds who can use a computer now, and it's – I mean, duh. Hello?
Now it's bugmenot.com?
Yeah.
Okay. Very cool. We'll definitely have to check that out. And anything that'll save me stress is a good thing.
And retailmenot.com for coupon codes.
Oh, there you go.
I hate rebates. They take too long. Instant rebates.
If they show up.
Oh, boy. Yep. Bug me not. Yeah, okay. All right. So, and I think William talked about it before, but the whole tagging of videos and sounds and all that, I think that's pretty cool. When you go to YouTube and you find a video that you really like, then you can find videos that are around that. For instance, I was a big Tech TV fan, still am. And so there is a real funny video of Adam Perillo breaking up on Tech TV. It's the funniest thing. And
Chris Perillo.
So anyway, that's right. Sorry. I apologize. I
think you meant Adam Carolla.
Well, he probably broke up now and again on whatever his show is. But Chris broke up on Tech TV, and it was pretty famous. A blooper, and what's nice is it has a whole call-a-thon they had, where they had people calling in asking different tech questions, and they broke it up into different segments, and so it's kind of funny to watch the whole thing in succession. But, you know, again, it's that whole access to the you know, what you want to see. I think that's just pretty cool, really cool.
You know what I'm really starting to like about TalkShoe? That as soon as you put those websites in, I can go straight to them, and I find that very useful.
Yep.
Yeah, if those were hot links, that'd be great. I wonder if there's a way to do that.
Oh, probably. So, okay, so William is a DVR king. You don't watch stuff when it's on TV, you watch it.
I watch
the,
what my TiVo tells me to watch.
Okay.
TiVo's in charge?
Yeah, TiVo's in charge. I mean, every now and then I give it some hints, like more cartoons, less medical dramas. But, yeah, I have no idea what day of the week certain things are on. I don't even worry about that. It's like, oh, it's Tuesday. I'm like, and, yeah.
How do you know what day of the week it is, then?
Well, I mean, I do know what the day of the week is. I just don't necessarily think about, you know, like if I talk to my mom, she'll say, oh, well, actually, on Wednesdays we watch, and then she'll list some show. And I'm like, well, that's great, but you could do something else, you know, at that time on Wednesday if you didn't worry about when they were offering it up to you.
Yeah.
If you just said, I'm interested in it. And, you know, I think I watch less TV, but I find things I'm interested in. You know, I might find a documentary on the War of 1812. For some reason, I'd be interested in that. And sorry, big L on my forehead, although Aperture Films might appreciate those sort of viewing patterns. But anyway, so I'll watch that, and I won't have seen, you know, Dancing with the Stars. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but that's what I would have seen when it was on. And maybe on some day of the week, you know, I say, gosh, I'm really in the mood to see some old Bob Newhart shows. TiVo will find them for me if they're out there, you know, and then I can get my fill on it and move on.
You know, I think that brings up a really good point that I've been thinking about, that TV news execs are really terrified of things like TiVo and YouTube and BitTorrent, and they say it's because they don't like people using their copyrighted material, but I think it's more that they're afraid of losing control of what the viewer watches. Mm. Because when the viewer can decide what to watch, it's harder for them to place advertising and bring in dollars.
I agree. I think it's all about control and money. So, yeah. You know,
well,
it's funny. Go ahead.
It goes against their main modus operandi, I don't know how else to put it, that I'm going to have this great show and then I'm going to sandwich this not so great show in between and hope you just stick through
right.
it all.
Right.
I mean, it's one thing for them to say to a potential advertiser, look, we've got this time slot. We're you know, it's a popular show. We're going to be getting, you know, 300,000 viewers during this show. So therefore we're going to set this rate for a 30-second advertisement at this much.
Yeah.
If they instead say, well, you know, some people are going to watch it. The message boards are full, so people like it. But how do we charge the rate? Especially, you know, and maybe
right.
say, well, you know, there's 35,000 clicks on it on a website. Well, okay, how many of those were somebody's click bot? How many of those were somebody who kept trying to download it over their 56K dial-up and kept failing? You know,
right.
So how can they really, you know, switch to a new marketing model, you know, from their old ways? And then if it's a retailer who wants to say, well, we want to buy these certain spots to advertise a sale that's happening Thursday through Saturday, you know, they don't want they want to know that this is coming out on a show that airs Wednesday or Thursday night. They don't want to. Well, you know, we found out that 75% of people download it on Sunday after the sale's over. So in that case, that retailer really is like, well, shoot, we don't want to spend our money to get them to come to a sale that's going to be over when they see it. So how do they work out the model of how they do their commercials?
I think that's a great point. One of my biggest beefs is they let their fear control them so much that they're not really working on that. They're working harder on nabbing people and filing lawsuits and locking down the control than to really say, okay, we've got to roll with this technology. How can we create a new viable marketing model? I guess that's my beef with them. I don't begrudge them their right to earn a living.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think if that's the case, if they're acting out of fear, that can only hold you for so long, you know. You know, necessity is the mother of invention, but it also causes you to do some crazy stuff if you're just reacting to fear.
Yeah. And I think that's why some things are really succeeding, because it's not out of fear, like YouTube. They're like, we're going to do this.
Let's just do it. Hey, so Jeff, 2007 is around the corner. What sort
yes,
of
sir.
Things are you looking to have Jeff Roney Design
oh, that's an excellent
and,
question.
And Roney's Own Radio do and just do in 2007 that we can look forward to?
Well, just to kind of bringing folks that are maybe new to this whole craziness. My name is Jeff Roney, and my website is jrdonline.com. And I have done some parody fun stuff. Some Star Wars parody and different kind of talk shows and podcasts and all that kind of stuff. And so one of the new things that we did this year is kind of shifted from just Star Wars and other entertainment icon parodies to just everything. And so we started with Ear Giggles, and there was some Star Wars stuff, but not altogether. And so, you know, we've done that. And that's going to continue. And so then there's the Roney's Own Radio, which is an interview show. I mean, there's some stuff where I just discuss things, but I'm not Larry King, and I just don't think I can hold it just by myself. So, you know, and then Talk Show came along. So I think this is going to be a welcome addition to, you know, the shows that we have. But, you know, there's some pretty funny things that are coming along, and some great dramatic sci-fi things coming along. So it's I don't know. It's what exactly? Lead me, Bill. Tell me what I should say. I'm a little, you know.
Do you have any kind of cool comedy or interviews coming up that we should be looking forward to?
Okay, Roney's Own Radio. There is an interview with a Disney animator, and his name is Chris Sonnenberg. You can look him up on IMDb, and his last name is Sonnenberg, Chris Sonnenberg. And he worked on Mulan, he worked on Pocahontas, and he worked on every film from that point to the end. And once they ended live action, actual hand-drawn animation, he parted ways with Disney, and he is working on his own work with another Disney animator, and he's also designing a line of clothes, fun clothes for kids, and he and his wife and his family live in Valencia, and actually Reese Witherspoon is interested in their line of clothes and to kind of partner a little bit with them. So one more time?
I said, just give us the sizzle, not the steak.
Okay. All right. So anyway,
this is
coming.
A real interview, not a parody, right?
No. It is a real, real interview. And so that's coming. And Ear Giggles is coming, and we have some funny bits, and Padme from Star Wars taking Anakin home to meet the parents, and just the frivolities that ensue from there. I mean, it's tough when you're just some schlep from, you know, South Dakota meeting the parents, but if you're an up-and-coming almost Sith Lord with a bionic grip, that can be just wild. So anyway, that's coming.
Like it.
I wonder what kind of hairdo Padme's mom would have.
Well,
she's got, I envision, you know, well, didn't spoil it, but.
Okay.
What about, are we going to hear any more from Johnny and Grandma?
Well, Grandma and Johnny, that's a funny pair. And Johnny's a sign twirler, lives with his grandma till his life gets straightened out. And that was 12 years ago. So. They have their fun and frivolity, and I would imagine that Grandma may find love this next year. And, you know, we just go on from there. And you know, as you know, with the sign twirling, there could be trouble with carpal tunnel, and I don't know how long Johnny can be the highest paid sign twirler there is. I just don't know.
I hope Grandma can find him a good lawyer or at least a physical therapist.
That is true. There's another thing coming that is Tony Rigatoni is a listener of the Ear Giggles podcast, and he really wants to be a part of the group, and really he's a Disney fan, and he loves to record things at Disneyland and kind of present it to us for playing. And unfortunately, he had a really rough situation in the restroom in Disneyland, and it's really hard for me to explain it, but if you go to jrdonline.com and look through Ear Giggles, you will find Tony Rigatoni's little news clip from the park.
Mr. Roney, this reminds me of a question I had. I noticed that Tony Rigatoni sometimes reviews or leaves comments for people who have various podcasts and stuff out there. And
yes.
I'm wondering, you know, out of the number of people that have joined in on this call that may have their own audio recordings, you know, whether it was a podcast or not, shows or offerings that they have on the internet, what's their experience with, you know, subscriber, downloader, or listener feedback? Do they get much of it? Do they have a feeling for what the percent, like if they had 100 listeners, they get one coherent, non-drunk response? Do they get 15? Any tips, you know, from anyone? Maybe they could type into the chat if they're not hooked up to speak.
Chat's good.
It's low. I mean, your response rate's low, as with any form of a media. The number of people that actually respond via email is pretty low, and the number of people that respond via voicemail, typically for my kind of show, which is a news show, so it doesn't really lend itself to people going, oh, wow, I really love that great movie, too. You know, so I'd probably get maybe one person out of every 100, 150.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that seems about typical, Mike. I know when I've done my radio shows, you know, people would always want to, and other groups in the station, they'd want to do a call-in. And we'd have to walk them through the whole thing. It's like, well, you have to do a lot to get 100 calls. And they're like, well, I don't need 100 calls.
Yeah.
Well, you might need 100 calls to get 10 calls through that that you feel safe with airing and they're actually on topic. You know, it just seemed so hit or miss. And it's one thing to pick up a phone and dial someone because you sort of invest yourself and maybe you have to be put on hold. But with the ease at which people can click a link and send an email or go to a forum and put, you suck sores, I rules. I was just sort of wondering about that. And I wonder if anyone else out there, you know, has any thoughts on that or that they're willing to share maybe privately later.
I think some of the folks may have clicked the wrong button and they don't, you know, I don't know.
They may have
maybe they've gone
back
on to the BitTorrents and, you know, but anyway. We'll still speak to them like they're there listening. That's fine.
Yeah.
So, no, I go ahead.
I was going to just say that the closest thing I've ever come to that is on blogs, nothing audio.
Mm-hmm.
But people feel very free. I'm on this site, progressiveview.org, and there are constant mm-hmm. arguments over how free people feel to just be nasty. And speculation, would they actually say these things in real life? And some people insist they would, and then we insist we'd be taking bets on fisticuffs.
Wow.
So I can see how it would be the same with audio.
I figure if you wouldn't say it in front of your family at Thanksgiving, you probably shouldn't write it down. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, I do know of occasions, you know, it's hopefully rare, but where, you know, bosses or potential employers might, you know,
yes.
It's as easy for them to say, you know what, I'm going to go and Google or Yahoo or ask.com this person and see what.
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh, they sure seem to post a lot about feet and food, together. You know, not that the personal habits or anything, but, you know, they might have to be concerned if they see that at the last place they always included their work signature line, you know. Or we're during it, between the work hours.
Right.
Or something like that.
Okay, so let's try something different. I'm going to play a sound. Tell me if you hear it, and also tell me if it's too loud, okay? Because we're going to have some fun. Promise.
Okay.
All right. So here we go, and I'm going to find it here, and it's coming up. Okay, so I'm going to play the fanfare here. Okay, now, did you hear
it's
it?
A little loud.
A little loud. Okay, I can
that's
change
good.
That. All right, I can pull it down to here because it has to be heard. All right. Now, how about, okay, let's see what we got here. Okay. That's softer now?
Mm.
No?
Try it again.
Okay. I brought it down some more. How's that?
What does everybody else think?
It's okay. I mean, as far as volume level, it depends. If you're going to be speaking over it, you'd still want to lower it probably another 20%.
Okay. I could do that because I'm going to play some things that you got to hear, so with the fun that we're going to do.
See, I have my Skype up all the way so I can drown out the lag so I can hear you. So that's just things that sound loud to me.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm just using a regular phone handset.
Okay, since, the tone. All right.
Now,
so
is this being played so that we're hearing it from a speaker through your microphone, or are we hearing it?
No, this is actually from a website called voiceemotion.com, and it's supposed to be a plugin where you can play WAV files through the sound card so that Skype plays it through to TalkShoe.
Okay, well, it worked.
Okay. So, all right, I'm going to play a line from a movie.
No.
So you guys got to guess which one it is. Okay?
Okay. I'm really bad at this, but all right, let's do it.
Well, all right. Okay, and okay, Mike, we're counting on you now. Okay, here we go, the first one.
They opened Disneyland in 1956.
See, can you hear it?
Nothing
about Disneyland in 1956.
Okay, so I'm gonna turn it up a little louder because I think you guys need it here.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, louder.
Okay, here we go. Going to play it again.
They opened Disneyland in 1956. Nothing worked.
But Jones, the Pirates of the Caribbean breaks down. The pirates don't eat the tourists.
Did you guys hear that?
I heard it. Pirates of the Caribbean beneath the tort.
Yeah, I couldn't make most of it out.
You could not make most of it out, Mike, or you could?
Eat the tourists. You're right. No, now that I hear it, I know exactly what it was. Now you said eat the tourists.
I think that's going to be the trick is when you're playing music, you know, and stuff, it probably doesn't need to be as loud because it's somewhat continuous, but with speech,
right.
Because you never know whether they're slurring it together or whatever. And there's also that background music. You probably need to pump it up a bit because, yeah, it wasn't really clear,
okay.
But it was like it was the snippets of stuff. You're like, what? Huh? Okay.
I would have
heard
you. I would have gotten it.
All right. So the guess is, Mr. Mike, what's the guess?
Well, he already said it. It's Jurassic Park. I mean, eat the tourists.
Okay.
You know.
Very good. Yes. All right. So now we'll do another one.
Here goes. I sped. I followed too closely. I ran a stop sign. I almost hit a Chevy. I sped some more. I failed to yield at a crosswalk. I changed lanes in the intersection. I changed lanes without signaling while running a red line and speeding.
Well, I know who
it
is.
Yes.
That's
half.
Oh, that's right.
Liar, liar. Very good. Awesome. Okay. See all the fun you guys can have that are not hooked up to the phone? See?
So Jeff, are you running those through the website, or is those just clips they have on the website?
Those are clips I found on, I think, moviewaves.com, something like that. So, and I put them into this voice emotion plugin for Skype.
Okay, yeah, because I use a little mixing program, and if I'm hosting one of these shows, I can play it, and it doesn't cause any problems. But if you're not hosting it and you use the output, then everybody hears an echo over and over again.
Okay. And you guys are hearing the echo?
No, you're fine.
Okay, all right, cool. Okay, we will continue the fun. Oh, I can feel the fun building out there. Phew.
Where's Junior?
What do you mean you put him in?
No, I thought. Where'd we leave him?
Sorry. I love the movie, and that's a funny, funny scene. Yes. Very, very good. Yay. Aura got it. Yes.
Oh,
okay.
Good.
So this is audible and somewhat fun?
Okay.
That's funny, Mike. Okay, Mike's a funny guy. That's good. Okay, here we go. Here's another one.
William, move your head. Look at the size of that boy's head.
Shh.
I'm not kidding. It's like an orange and a toothpick.
You're going to give the boy a complex.
Well, that's a huge noggin. It's a virtual planetary. Has its own weather system. Heat, move.
Well, I think it's Mike Myers.
Well, yes, you think right. Close, Mike,
ooh.
But not really.
Oh, is it the? I think she got it.
Yes, Aura comes through again. Woo! Very good.
Cool, the
very good.
It's cut.
Aura's coming through in a clutch now. Okay, number four.
I know.
You fool! You fell victim to one of the classic blunders. The most famous is never get involved in a land war in Asia, but only slightly less well known is this. Never go in against a Sicilian when death is on the line.
Godfather Part Two.
Oh, excellent. Very good.
Look at that.
The Princess Bird. Princess Bride, I know. Okay. Now, here's a toughie. I'm just telling you, it's tough. It's an ape grunt from 2001. No, just kidding. It's not. All right, here we go.
2001.
No.
Oh.
I'm Rick Hamlin. People seem to like me because I am polite and I'm rarely late. I like to eat ice cream, and I really enjoy a nice pair of...
Anybody? Anybody know who it is?
I wish I could hear a cricket chirp.
Okay, it's Steve Carroll.
Do it again.
Okay, I'm going to play it again. Here we go. One more time.
I'm Rick Hamlin. People seem to like me because I am polite and I'm rarely late. I like to eat ice cream and I really enjoy a nice pair of slacks.
Okay. So it's Steve Carell. And we got a couple of choices. What movie do you think? Okay, it's Anchorman. With Will Ferrell.
Did that go straight to video, or was that actually in the theaters?
Oh, Ron Burgundy? Oh, yeah, it was in the theaters a while.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we will continue.
All right, I got
Here's
one
another
for you.
One. What do you got?
No, it's not a sound clip. Never mind.
Okay, here it is.
You're offering me a bribe. What you have just done is illegal. And in this state, if convicted, you could be fined up to $5,000 or spend 6 months in a correctional facility. Oh, please. No, that was dumb. I was just making comments.
Pretty funny. Close, Ara. You're on the right track. It's definitely the right actor. It is Mr. Jim Carrey. But in another movie. With one of the stars of someone. There you go, Cable Guy. Very good. Now, William has a connection with another one of the actors, somewhat, with Mr. Now his name escapes me. But anyway, he was in The Producers, the other guy. What was the guy's name?
Which other guy?
Never mind. It's fine. Okay, here's the next clip.
Richard, do I have a mark on my face? It really hurts.
Nope, nothing. I thought I hit you on the shoulder.
My shoulder doesn't hurt very much, but my face does. Right here. Not here, or here so much, but right here.
Nope. Ship shape.
Oh, boy. Funny actors. One still living. The other has gone on, but yeah, the name I missed before was Matthew Broderick. Thank you, Mr. Mike.
Oh yeah, he was
but
in
this
the
one here.
Well, the second movie version of The Producers, based on the play version of The Producers, based on the movie version of The Producers.
That is correct. But this clip in particular.
Star of Say Anything.
Let's play it again. Let's play it again here.
Richard, do I have a mark on my face? It really hurts.
Nope, nothing. I thought I hit you on the shoulder.
My shoulder doesn't hurt very much, but my face does. Right here. Not here, or here so much, but right here.
Nope.
Was anybody? Any guess? No. No, Ara, I forgot before, but Matthew Broderick was in Cable Guy, and William was in The Producers, but that's a whole other discussion. But anyway, no, this one was Tommy Boy.
Huh.
And okie doke.
Sorry, I think it's time for a seventh inning stretch here. So I got an activity
okay.
We can all do at home.
Okay.
I think we can. If you can't, just you could pretend. But if you're able to elevate your right foot so it's not touching the floor, and rotate the foot in a clockwise direction. Clockwise is sort of the direction that a analog clock will go if you're going from 1 to 2 to 3. And as you're rotating your foot in this clockwise direction, your right foot, by the way. If you could use your right hand to trace just in the air in front of you the numeral 6, I'll give you a moment to try this out. If you're having difficulty, let me know. What you may have noticed is that while tracing the numeral 6, were you able to keep your foot going in a clockwise direction?
No.
Can you raise your hands if you could?
Well, I actually can, but I know the trick. And that's that you think of the shape, not the number. At least it works for my messed up brain. But the first time I did it, exactly, your foot starts to go all over the place.
You know, and I found that if you try to do the numeral 8, it gets even worse because you've got both directions to do during the number. But, yeah, it's a fun one you could tease the kids with. I think that's probably a good way to keep those, third graders to less young, occupied for a while if they're being too rambunctious. Go sit in a corner and draw clock circles. Freak me out. Oh, first time, Aaron. No, and then you forgot how to the second time? Oh. Yeah.
No.
I'm just going to cry in a corner.
Oh, no. Well, okay. I think let's kind of end on a high note. I think this was a great first show. I think we kind of kicked the tires and tried a number of different things. I want to thank Mr. Mike for dropping by. I want to thank Ara for dropping by. And Mr. William Lundeen for dropping by. And just keep checking TalkShoe. We'll do it again. And yes. Yo-Yo. Who's a Yo-Yo? Me? I'm the Yo-Yo. Oh, she hung up the phone. She didn't want to hear the echo anymore.
Well, I'm going to have to just take out an equity loan. Okay. Yo-Yo in the hood. Oh. See? She's giving you shout-outs. Love your people. Giving you respect.
I forgot to get my hood to TalkShoe translator.
No, really, thanks so much, guys, for stopping by. And, you know, I'd rather kind of end it now than kind of stretch it out to, you know, longer. But this is basically kind of what we want to do here. And we'll do it again. So keep checking TalkShoe, and we'll see you guys soon. See you later. Bye.
Bye.